Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
I have pushed the button.
Whoa, who told you to push the button?
No one, I just did it.
Oh, okay, that is the way that goes, yeah.
Wait, is there someone who should be telling me? Are there cues?
Yeah, I mean, you've been ignoring them for hundreds of episodes.
Well, who was that guy?
That's Maurice.
Maurice?
Yeah. You don't know Maurice? He's been in here the entire time.
Oh, he just stays to himself. I figured he was just doing something, you know, behind the scenes kind of thing.
Well, that's what he's trying to be, the producer.
Really?
Yeah.
He's been here since day one. He hasn't produced shit from me.
He's trying really hard. You promised him waffles.
Oh, that Maurice.
Yeah, yep. And then you locked him in here. And there hasn't been a waffle since.
AOL discs are kind of like waffles.
They aren't, even though you keep telling me that.
Well, you put syrup on them.
You don't give us any syrup.
I do like syrup. I can't share it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. You keep saying that, too.
I'm sorry, Canadian.
It's the first time you said that.
Oh, well, I don't mean it.
Oh.
Sorry, Maurice. It's
all right.
I got movies. I know you've got a difficult episode to get through. Do you want to get it over with quicker? Do you want to hear some things from me? What are you thinking?
I'll get it over with.
All right, go ahead.
2002.
Yep.
The Santa Claus 2.
Dos.
Dos.
El Clauso.
I watched it in December of 2020. That's 1 hour and 45 minutes of pure movie. It is a Christmas family film directed by Michael Lembeck, starring David Krumholtz, Eric Lloyd, and Elizabeth Mitchell. Obviously, we have the returning cast, Tim Allen and such. Judge Reinhold.
Yeah.
Love them. Movie summary. Scott Calvin has been Santa for nearly 10 years.
Good for him.
But it may all come to an end if he can't find Mrs. Claus.
What? Where did she go?
She never existed. They were divorced.
Oh.
Yeah.
So now he's got to shack up with somebody or Christmas ends?
That's apparently his reign of Santa ends.
So does he get murdered or because it's blood magic?
It doesn't really get into the details. Oh. They're just really banking on him succeeding.
Oh, man. I wonder what Sam would say if it was blood magic. Like, can we prove it's blood magic? Sam wouldn't like that.
I think we cannot, but just say we did.
Sure, and just lie to her?
Well, not necessarily lie, but just kind of walk around the truth a little bit.
So like
it's blood magic. Like, we just act like it is, and we're not lying about it. It is, because we both believe it is. It's like Christmas. You believe it, and it happens.
Oh.
The power of belief. That's a theme of Christmas films.
I don't think we can topple Sam. Sam's smart, though.
She is.
We're going to have to really think about this.
We'll give it some thought.
Like, normally I'd just build a trap, like a Burmese tiger trap, or like, you know.
Right.
But that's too
far. That's how you got Maurice in here.
I did. His wounds have healed nicely.
Yeah, he's really getting around pretty good now.
Far less holes.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So, my thoughts on this movie. It's like three mini movies kind of all happening at the same time.
Hmm.
And you get to suffer through three mini movies all at once.
Anthology Christmas?
So this kid, Eric Lloyd, his dad is Santa Claus, and he knows that. Mm-hmm. We went through the whole thing in the first movie of him being thought to be insane. And he's just a bad kid. He just doesn't behave himself, despite the fact his dad is Santa Claus.
Weird.
Because, you know, that's how you do.
We gotta rebel.
I guess. That's certainly the line they're taking.
Sure.
And then you have Santa, who's trying to find a Mrs. Claus, so he needs to take a lot of time away from the North Pole. So they have a robot Santa take over duties at the North Pole, and he kind of ends up like pseudo holding the elves hostage.
Nice.
So we got these three movies all kind of tangentially related to each other, all happening certainly at the same time. And at the end of the day, we got Mrs. Claus, we have Mr. Claus, we have the kid who's shaped up or else he won't get presents, so that was pretty easy.
Yeah.
And then we've bested the robot, which took all of about 2.5 minutes in Act 3.
That's bad. Was the robot trying to milk the elves for eggnog?
It wasn't trying to milk the elves, it was just kind of trying to be fully in charge. He goes through all the paperwork and figures out all the powers that he has when he reads the Santa Claus.
The robot blood powers.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just not good at all, really.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. IMDb gave this a 5.7 out of 10, so very merciful over there. The Rotten Tomatoes critics figured, hell, we saw a number, we'll just knock one off of it, and gave it a 56%. That's what 122 critics decided. The audience, they were a little smarter, 42%, 100,000 plus.
Plus
audience members, and I have a tendency to agree with them, and I come in at a 4 out of 10. This movie definitely doing more wrong than it does right.
It's a naughty movie.
It is, and not like in a cool, sexy way.
That's the third one, I hope.
It's not.
Oh, dang. Well, let's get out of Christmas Town for a minute.
Please.
Let's shake the snow off.
I would love that.
2017 All-Nighter.
All-Nighter.
All-Nighter. I watched this on, that's a June, June 25th.
Okay.
I watched this with Chris Hadley again.
Nice.
We had a lot of sleepovers.
I like that.
It's not as sexy as it sounds. It was fun, though.
No, that's, I mean, I was just expecting to have fun.
It could be sexier next time, Chris. 1 hour, 26 minutes. It's a comedy drama.
Watch out for the Burmese tiger trap.
Yeah, no. That's for after.
Oh.
When I'm done with you.
Sorry, Maurice.
Sorry, Maurice. You survived. You've got a billion $10. You have $10 too. Hey. IMDb movie summary. A workaholic. Oh, I didn't even tell you who's in this.
Mm-mm.
Boy, I didn't even tell you who directed it.
Mm-mm.
We're so shook up from this Santa Claus debacle and the blood magic and this tiger trap. There's a lot going on this episode, okay?
If only we had a producer.
Ah, man, if only. Oh, there he is. I see him. There he is.
He's there. He's been there the whole time.
Weird. This is directed by Gavin Wazen, starring J.K. Simmons.
I love J.K. Simmons.
Me too. Emil Hirsch.
I love him too.
Leo Timpton. Yeah, I like them too. That's why I watched it, but this movie not that good.
Oh, no.
IMDb movie summary. A workaholic father who attempts to visit his daughter during a layover in L.A., only to discover that she's disappeared, is forced to team up with her awkward ex-boyfriend to find her over the course of one transformative night.
Interesting.
This movie starts fine enough. It's a weird enough scenario where you get the boyfriend meeting J.K. Simmons, who's like a hard-ass, almost military-like
father. Of course he is. Yeah.
And he hates him, but he's nice to him. They end up breaking up, and the father doesn't know that.
Okay.
When he comes into town, he's like, hey, I just wanted to see my daughter. He goes, oh, we broke up, man. We haven't been together. And he's like, I can't find her.
Interesting.
Can you just point me in a direction?
Right.
Just do me a solid. Just point me in a direction.
Sure.
It ends up snowballing into them going on an adventure, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts fine enough, and the dude's like, I don't want to do this, but yeah, man, I'll help you real
quick. Right, sure.
And it just goes so far. And then it gets into, like, fantasy land, and it just gets weird.
Okay.
My bullet points, if you close your eyes, you get to hear Omni-Man say very weird shit, which is fun. That's what I kept doing because the movie was boring me.
Okay. Love Omni-Man, though.
Omni-Man, super good. Odd but realistic enough scenario to start chain of events. And J.K. Simmons doesn't have a shirt on for a point in this movie, if you're interested. No full frontal male nudity, though. I would tell you if that happened, but...
Speaking of Omni-Man, shirtless.
The man is in shape for his age. My goodness. My goodness.
My goodness.
My JK. No JK.
No JK. Woo,
but yes JK.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, this is a weird movie. It goes far. It does some stuff that's just like, why? You do get some nice moments. The ending wraps up pretty good. It wasn't what I expected.
Oh, cool.
Which was awesome. But, like, the middle was just so dull.
Right.
And then it's, like, where some of the weirder stuff... It's, like, where the more fantastical stuff happened. And I was just like, I don't want this. Like, if you kept this more mellow...
Sure.
And kept it on course, I think it would have been better.
A little bit more grounded.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, IMDb, 5.8. out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
The critics, 14 of them, 14%.
Mm.
1% a critic, because that's how that works.
Oh my gosh.
The audience, 36%, 250 plus. Mr. Headley gave it a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
I gave it a 5 out of 10, because I see what they were going for, and they almost delivered with it. But they kind of lost points, but I gave them the extra point back, because I thought the ending was pretty good.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's do it.
Here, I thought I was going to have the lowest rated critical movie of the two of us, but you managed to win.
Shockingly.
You beat the Santa Claus 3,
ooh,
the Escape Clause.
Ooh, this is the one with Martin Short.
It is. It came out in 2006. I watched it in December of 2020 because I'm foolish. 1 hour and 38 minutes. It is a Christmas family film. The movie summary, Santa is faced with double duty, how to keep his new family happy and how to stop Jack Frost from taking over Christmas.
I thought you were going to mention a robot family.
No, there's no robot anymore. They dealt with the robot, but they do have now Martin Short as Jack Frost. So they took this movie. So this movie's bad. Let me lead into not giving anybody any preconceived notion. This movie's dog dirt, but it's kind of bad for a different set of reasons. So they have like this collective council of like Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and all these different characters that are like the Easter Bunny's there. Like, it's just kind of like this council of, like, holiday beings.
Right.
Sort of. And Jack Frost is involved in this group, and he kind of feels shortchanged because Santa Claus exists, and he's the more popular winter character.
Shortchanged. I see what you did.
Yeah, I see?
Hey.
Martin shortchanged.
Hey.
So... this movie is really like, it takes this radical turn where we're dealing mostly in the first couple Santa Clauses with Santa Claus exclusively, and he's got at least like him adjacent problems. This one, it's like they tack on like his wife's family needs to come up and they don't know he's Santa Claus, and so they're trying to like fool them the whole time. And then you have Judge Reinhold and his ex-wife who come up for Christmas and his son, and they know he's Santa Claus. And it's just like this weird extra facet. And then all the meanwhile, Martin Short's using the fact that Santa is distracted and having kind of like minor fallout with his wife about the family being up there to take over Christmas and become the new like Christmas chancellor. Chancellor guy, man, however that title works. And
Chancellor man.
It's really like, you kind of know how. You can pretty much rattle off exactly what's going to happen from the start of the movie. Like, okay, this is what's going to happen, and this is how it's going to wrap up, and it does exactly what you'd expect. There's nothing really new or interesting here. Tim Allen and Martin Short both kind of underutilized. Doesn't really do much for either of them. Martin Short gets to be a little bit grandiose and big. This movie goes in that direction for, again, some really strange reason.
I've seen this movie.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, like, I like the concept of we need to push, like, we've kind of taken the, like, all of Santa Claus's plight is kind of wrapped up now, right? Like, he became Santa Claus. He's gotten into the rhythm. He's found Mrs. Claus. Everything's okay here. How do we make a third movie? But the problem is, maybe you didn't need to at all.
Isn't this like way later than the first one?
The first one came out in 94. The second one came out in 2002. So almost a 10-year jump. And then this one came out in 2006, so 4 years later. It's not like they were just firing these off.
Sure.
They were just like, it's Christmas. We could use a few extra dollars. Probably some people in Disney need a, you know, a little bit of Christmas bonus. So sure, Let's just make a movie we know is a cash cow, and we'll just get people in the seats. Tim Allen doesn't hate cat. You know, he likes a paycheck. Martin Short likes a paycheck.
Sure.
I mean, I don't blame them. Yeah, it's just not good. And if I didn't mention it, this is also directed by Martin Lembeck, because I feel like I also skipped my director. Martin Short's in here. Spencer Breslin is one of the elves, and Anne Margaret is here as his mother-in-law, Tim Allen's mother-in-law. It's just not effective. It's not really much of a story. It feels very hollow. Two is bad. Three is similarly as bad. I think, like, if you look at the IMDb, and we'll go over that real quick. IMDb 4.8 versus a 5.7 for two. Critics, 66 of them, 17%. Versus 56% for number two. Audience, 39% with 100,000 plus versus the 42%. And I feel like the audience is kind of on point here because they're nearly equally as bad. Neither of these two sequels are good, but they're bad for distinctly different reasons. So I could see one or the other rubbing you the wrong way more. But to me, they just go kind of wrong in two very different directions. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, to me, pretty much proves that this trilogy was kind of exhausted and there's not much meat on. Now, would it surprise me if it comes out in 2 years that they're going to do a Santa Claus where it's like, oh, Santa Claus is getting old and he needs to like pass the torch or something, or he's trying to jump off somebody else's roof or some shit? Maybe. Who the hell knows? Maybe Tim Allen's become suicidal and he's trying to jump off roofs. I don't know.
Oh, it should be that kid from Home Improvement that becomes the new Santa Claus.
There you go.
The heartthrob one, who's Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah. Simba himself.
That's the guy.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's equally as bad. The first one I gave a 4.2. This one I give a 3.5 because I think they're both equally as bad, but just kind of for different reasons.
So I remember watching this one, and all I remember, because I probably watched it close to when it came out, I remember Martin Short's costume design was kind of like grand.
Oh, yeah.
And he sang a song that he seemed to love.
Yeah.
And that's all I remember.
That's all you need to remember.
But Martin Short just loves to sing.
He does.
He's a
showman.
He's a good dude.
Absolutely.
Well, I got a movie.
Oh, please.
It also appeals to children.
Hmm.
It's Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
Hmm.
Yeah, anybody see Dora?
I have not seen Dora.
No? Sam has.
Sam has. Maurice?
Maurice.
He's confused by what Dora is.
Hola, Maurice. Nope, that's not his language. Got
no,
it.
No, way off.
I'll get it one of these days.
Yeah, I'm glad you figured out he existed.
Let's see if I can remember. This is from 2019. This is the live-action Dora movie. I watched it on July 4th as I very patriotically watched a movie about a young Hispanic girl.
Oh, of course.
It's an hour 42. The genre is adventure family comedy. It is directed by James, I'm going to go with Bobin.
Sure.
Starring Isabella Mercer, Eugenio Debrez, and Michael Pena.
Of course. Of course Michael Pena's in this movie.
He's her father.
Oh, really?
He's very good.
Okay.
He's comic relief like he should be.
Like he should be, yep.
Yep. IMDb movie summary. Dora, a teenage explorer, leads her friends on an adventure to save her parents and solve the mystery behind the lost city of gold.
Me llamo Dora.
I feel like they just took the description is just them reading the title again and adding a handful of colorful words.
Absolutely.
Really awful, but accurate, I guess. My bullet point, smart storytelling geared towards high schoolers who grew up with Dora. Makes perfect sense. Dora's kind of going to high school. She's a little older. She doesn't understand. So there's two parts of this story. It's her leaving the jungle and learning to go to school in, you know, our world, our area. And then it's her and some of her friends going to the jungle to try to solve this mystery.
Okay.
Diego shows up, of course.
Of course. Swiper in this?
Swiper is in this. Swiper is the only thing that's a little unrealistic. Okay. Everything else actually is pretty fine.
Huh.
Swiper is a fox. He is wearing a mask. He does talk. That weird. Is the only thing you got to get over. Everything else is super on point. It was really weird. And they poked jokes at him. They're like, why does a fox need to wear a mask?
Yeah.
Who's he concealing his identity from?
Right.
And things like that. Also, it's a spoiler. I won't say that.
Okay.
You could trim a little bit of time off this movie, and I think it would be better, but it's not a huge thing here. Okay. It fits in all of its shit, which is amazing to me.
Nice.
I said, there's no way, because I've watched a lot of Dora. My daughter likes Dora. And I'm like, well, there's like a troll that lives under a bridge that does, you know, they won't put the troll in there. They put the troll in.
Oh, wow.
They made it make sense. All the weird shit that I'm like, there's no way they can do. I'll just spoil this part. This part's great.
Yeah, that's fine.
They are going through the jungle. They accidentally set off this mushroom thing that makes these spores go in the air. They all get high.
Okay.
And they imagine themselves as cartoons. They look like the cartoon.
Oh, neat.
They see all the characters, Benny the Bull and all this shit.
Oh, that's cool.
It was great. I was like, oh my God, they fit in all the shit. And it makes sense.
That's
I'm not mad.
That's really neat.
So this movie is actually awesome. We watched it because my wife was going through my list. She goes, Dora's in your list? I go, oh yeah, hell yeah, Dora's in my list. I got to see how, I need variety on this podcast.
Absolutely.
She's like, well, we're watching Dora then. I go, fuck yeah.
Okay.
Es bueno. This movie's awesome and everyone should watch it. I actually was shocked at how good this is.
Wow.
I mean, it's a little silly at times, but it's a kid's movie. As long as you keep in that mind. Yeah. Because they're trying to appeal to an older generation. The generation that grew up with Dora is now roughly high school age, probably, right?
Sure.
And they make so, it's just so good. I was shocked. Sam, it's good, right, Sam? Sam's shaking her head. Yes, you can talk. I've referenced you. There it is. So we need to have a Dora night, you and me, Max.
There you go.
Just really good movie.
Me llamo Dora.
And like they find the city, there's traps, everything was really good.
Nice.
There's bad guys. The bad guys are obvious in some way. They do some tropes, but they do it in a fun way.
Cool.
I just don't want to give away anymore. I'm just excited this movie was good.
Dora / Indiana Jones.
Kind of.
Yeah, I like that.
Kind of, yeah. I think you'd be proud by the puzzles and the adventure side of it, because I feel like this younger generation doesn't have an Indiana Jones-esque
right.
thing. This kind of was it.
That's cool.
And then there's a big musical at the end.
Nice.
Which I don't care about.
Yeah, that's fine.
IMDb gave it a 6.1. Rotten Tomato critics, 153 critics, 85%.
Wow.
The audience, 5,000 plus, 88%.
Damn.
I gave it a 6.5, and my wife agreed.
Nice.
We had fun watching Dora.
Great.
Dora, the Explorer. Super cool. Something, Dora.